appropriations in Delaware. This with words that in a unanimous vote, both houses of that state's legislature passed an amendment to a Delaware House bill that outlaws mobile use of, quote, two-way communication devices, but now specifically allows amateur radio use. As reported last week, the original wording of the state's cell phone law would have banned all sorts of two-way radio operations as well. But state representatives Ruth Briggs King and Dave Wilson recognized the deficiencies in the wording and introduced an amendment to correct them. It then became the work of the Delaware ham community to assure its passage. According to a public posting by Dennis Carroll, KB3MJ, on the QRZ.com website, some 15 Delaware amateurs not only wrote, called, and emailed their state representatives and senators, but actually spent endless hours at Legislative Hall in Dover Tuesday and Wednesday nights. They spent that time educating legislators about radio communications in general and amateur radio in particular. In the end, the amendment passed with yes votes from 100% of the representatives and senators who were present in both houses. The FCC's San Francisco office has issued a notice of unlicensed operation to Philip N. Riker of Watsonville, California. This regarding an unlicensed broadcast station operating from property that he owns in the city of Santa Cruz. According to the June 3rd notice, the San Francisco FCC office had received information that an unlicensed broadcast radio station on 101.1 MHz was allegedly operating in Santa Cruz. This past March 19th, agents from that office confirmed that a radio signal was coming from property that public records show Riker is owning. Riker was told that he must immediately cease operations of the unlicensed transmitter. He was also given 10 days to explain his activities to the FCC, and that date has now passed. The FCC has issued an official citation to the USA Shutter Company, LLC, doing business as Maestro Shield of Naples, Florida, for allegedly marketing unauthorized radio frequency devices in the United States. This, in violation of Section 302B of the Communications Act and Sections 2.803 and 15.201 of the Commission's rules. According to the FCC, back in 2009, it received a complaint alleging that USA Shutter was selling unauthorized wireless remote control transmitters used to control window shutters. On December 3, 2009, a letter of inquiry was sent to USA Shutter regarding the matter. In its response on December 18, USA Shutter replied stating that it does not manufacture remote control transmitters, but did admit to importing and marketing four models of these devices beginning in January 2007 and another model later on. It also admitted that these wireless remote control transmitter models are not FCC certified. In the citation, the FCC told USA Shutter that intentional radiators, such as the wireless remote control transmitters, are required by Section 15.201 of the rules to be approved through the certification procedures prior to marketing within the United States. Since these devices have not received FCC certification, USA Shutter was warned to cease selling them. If the company continues to do so, it can be fined up to $16,000 for each such violation or each day of a continuing violation. USA Shutter was given the customary 30 days from the June 21st issuance date of the citation to respond and to specify the actions that it has taken to ensure that it does not violate the Commission's rules governing the marketing of radio frequency equipment in the future. Hams in North Carolina were ready when the heat of the day took its toll on a woman attending the region's Hog Day Barbecue. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, has the rest of the story. Bill.
On June 19th, members of the Orange County Radio Amateurs and Orange County ARAS were on duty for the annual street fair in Hillsborough, North Carolina, known as Hog Day. They've been there since 8 a.m. The hams were providing backup communications for the event when, at about 12:40 in the afternoon, a woman came into the exhibitor's booth and collapsed. She was able to tell onlookers that she was feeling weak from the 90-degree plus heat. At just about the same time, two radio amateurs happened to be at the same booth. One of them, Lad Carrington, W4ORD, immediately radioed the situation to Net Control, Ken Kaufman, KR4FM. Kaufman, in turn, dispatched paramedics from Orange County's Emergency Services. The call over the repeater was also heard by Woody Woodward, K3VSA, whose assignment was to shadow David Hunt. Hunt is chief judge for the event's barbecue cook-off. He's also a volunteer fireman, and he immediately made for the location with a bottle of chilled water. When Woodward and Hunt arrived on the scene, the woman was slumped over in a chair. Hunt used some of the cold water to apply a compress to the back of her neck. The bottom line, another time when emergency trained ham radio operators were in the right place at the right time. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. I'm in the newsroom in the City of Angels. Don?
The paramedics arrived just moments later to provide emergency care and transport the victim further inside an air-conditioned space. Tasmanian radio engineer Barry McCann, VK7TBM, has received international recognition in the Queen's Birthday Honors. This for his contribution to maritime communications. VK7TBM was the co-founder of what has become Australia's largest marine radio network, known as Coast Radio. This radio communication system is manned by volunteers that provide radio services to commercial fishermen and recreational boaters. The Coast Radio Network covers a large stretch of water from the South Australian-Victorian border, the 300 nautical miles south of Tasmania, and up to the New South Wales-Victorian border. The idea for the Marine Radio Network came about after Barry spent an unplanned night at sea in the mid-1970s after the engine in his boat failed. Congratulations to James Keep, VE2KHC. He was recently appointed as the Radio Amateurs of Canada Director for Quebec. This for the remainder of a two-year term, which started June 24, 2010, ending December 31, 2012. VE2KHC is a certified emergency coordinator and is trained with the Sécurité Civile Québec and is also a registered Radio Amateurs of Quebec member. And a radio club that assisted in the 1980s video Amateur Radio's Newest Frontier has recently been reactivated. This with word that the George C. Marshall Radio Club in Huntsville, Alabama has returned to active status after being dormant for many years. On July 1st, one of the first meetings of the club was held with eight in attendance. Leaders say that there are many items that need to be addressed, but they have high hopes of bringing this club back to its former glory. Back in the early 1980s, it was members of this radio club that made possible the taping of segments of Amateur Radio's Newest Frontier dealing with the European Space Agency's Space Lab that was carried to orbit by the United States Space Shuttle. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. A new desktop PC aimed at people aged over 60 who are unfamiliar with personal computers and the Internet has been unveiled in the United Kingdom. Called Simplicity, the simplified desktop has only six buttons directing users to basic tasks such as email and chat. The Simplicity computer has no login screen when it starts up, contains no drop-down menus, and comes preloaded with 17 video tutorials. The operating system is a version of Linux that can be customized by users. So far, the Simplicity computer system is only available in Europe. According to the BBC story introducing it, more than 6 million people in the UK over the age of 65 have never used the Internet, according to British government figures. Sandia National Laboratory researchers in Albuquerque, New Mexico, have taken the first steps toward reducing the size and enhancing the functionality of devices in the terahertz frequency spectrum. This by combining a detector and laser on the same chip to make a compact receiver. Researchers say that this development has rendered unnecessary the precision alignment of optical components formerly needed to couple the laser to the detector. The new solid-state system puts to use the so-called neglected middle child frequency range between the microwave and infrared parts of the electromagnetic spectrum. Terahertz radiation is of interest because some frequencies can be used to see through certain materials. Potentially, they could be used in dental or skin cancer imaging to distinguish different tissue types. They also permit improved non-destructive testing of materials during production monitoring. Other frequencies could be used to penetrate clothing and possibly identify chemical or biological weapons and narcotics. More is online at tinyurl.com/3302n2j. SpaceDaily.com reports that the European Space Agency's Columbus Module Maritime Automatic Identification System, or AIS, aboard the International Space Station was switched on. The AIS antenna, mounted externally on the Columbus Module, was fabricated by AMSAT and ARIS member Lou McFadden, W5DID, and the United States ARIS team. The group has also constructed a nearly identical amateur band antenna for ARIS operations that will be used when the Ericsson amateur radio gear is activated in early 2011. And how well does the new antenna work? The European Space Agency reports receiving more than 90,000 Class A AIS messages during a 14-hour test between 1900 GMT June 2nd and 0900 GMT June 3rd. This generated a global view of maritime traffic as the ISS orbit crossed all major shipping lanes. The July 2 UniverseToday.com newsletter reports that NASA has announced new target dates for the final two or maybe three shuttle missions. STS-133 is now aimed for November 1st at approximately 4:33 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the final flight of Shuttle Discovery. STS-134 will happen February 26, 2011 at around 4:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Shuttle Endeavour's last launch. However, there's no word on the potential of a bonus mission titled STS-135. If approved by Congress, it would launch sometime in August 2011. The latest word on that was that NASA officials hope the decision on whether or not to fly STS-135 would be made sometime this month. Students assisted by area hands will be building the payload for the South African High Altitude Balloon Experiment, or HABEX, project. This for the ZS-6 SCI Cy Bono Discovery Center, in association with the Gauteng Department of Education. The objective is to involve schools in Gauteng in the entire process of developing and building a payload that will be launched using an unmanned meteorological balloon. Cy Bono approved a budget for the building of HABEX. A team of radio amateurs who are engineers and designers are assisting the schools in developing the payload. Approval has been obtained from authorities for the launch of HABEX, which is currently slated now for July 24th, from nearby Klerksdorp Airfield. At airtime, it is not known what type of ham radio gear will be on board at liftoff. HABEX was inspired by the United States BACAR, or Balloon Carrying Amateur Radio Project. An amateur radio satellite being built by students at SRM University may be launched by the Indian Space Research Organization in September. An SRM University press release describes the new bird, called SRMSAT, as a 15-watt satellite weighing between 10 and 15 kilograms and measuring 1 meter. SRMSAT may use 145.8 megahertz for the uplink and 434.5 megahertz for the downlink. It will launch along with the primary payload known as CardoSat, and two other amateur radio satellites called SudSat and TISAT-1. On the air, keep an ear open for what are being called duly authorized members of the Colombian Radio Amateur Association to be active as K5-200LR through 2010. This is a special event called to celebrate the bicentennial and independence of Colombia. QSL electronically via logbook of the world or direct to HK3LR. Members of the Fort Beacon Amateur Radio League should be on the air using the special event call sign K4C. This operation celebrates the 21st Central American and Caribbean Games that will take place in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. K4C will conclude operations on August 1st. QSL directs to KP4EF. Poland's first ever amateur radio 10-meter beacon is on the air. SR4TEN is located in the office of the Polish amateur radio journal QTC Magazine in grid square JO94RG. It operates on 28.203 megahertz with 3 watts output. If you receive SR4TEN, please send your QSN reports by email to qtc@post.pl. NDX, where that F5IRO is headed to Djibouti and will be active as J28RO beginning July 6th and is expected to stay for 2 years. Activity will be on the HF bands using CW, SSB, and the digital modes, mainly on the weekends and during the afternoons and evenings, starting between 1200 to 1300 UTC. His QSL manager is F8DFP. The KL7RRC 2010 Alaska Tour will take to the air from Kodiak Island from July 19th to the 21st. This will be followed by an operation from uninhabited Chirikov Island beginning July 22nd and running through August 1st or 2nd, with a final swing back to Kodiak Island August 3rd and 4th. QSL via UA9OBA or N7RO. JF1OKX will be active as 9J2KK from Lusaka, Zambia through the end of September 2011. Operation will be on 80 through 6 meters, concentrating on the digital modes such as PSK, WSJT, and RTTY, but there may be time for some SSB and CW as well. QSL via JK1NSR. YL2PN operating portable ES0 will be on from Runu Island, Estonia during the RSGB Islands on the Air contest July 24th and 25th. He'll be a single operator, low power, all band, mixed entry. If you work him, QSL via his home call sign. And lastly, JI1LET will be on the airstroke JD1 from Chichijima Island from July 24th through the 30th. His activity will be on 40 through 6 meters using CW, SSB, and RTTY. QSL to JI1LET, direct or via the JARL Bureau. And finally this week, we all know that after World War II, a lot of United States military surplus began showing up in the marketplace. This was especially true of two-way radio equipment such as the famed ARC-5 receivers and transmitters. These units cost the government thousands of dollars, but hams in the 1950s and 1960s could buy as many as they wanted for under 10 bucks. But not every country disposed of its military surplus on the open market. The United Kingdom was one of those that took a different approach and did not always work, as we hear from Jim Linton, VK3PC.
At the end of World War II, with peace declared, huge quantities of equipment were simply dumped. A story published in Signal, the magazine of the Vintage Military and Amateur Radio Society, concerns reports of Royal Air Force radio gear being tipped down disused coal mine shafts in Staffordshire. A local farmer, Thomas Weston, retrieved thousands of these units
and through an associate, George Eyre, sold them on the open market to make a tidy profit. Everything was going well until the farmer's local member raised a question in British Parliament about this disgraceful waste of resources occurring at a time the nation was undergoing tough post-war financial restraint. That caused a political storm, and the farmer was threatened with legal action by the Coal Commission on the grounds that he was trespassing when entering the mines. But in the following year, 1947, the farmer got under their guard by buying land containing two old mine shafts and, without restriction, restarted his enterprise. It seems that other things were dumped after the war too. Rumours include items ranging from old mess hall cutlery right through to boxed unassembled aircraft. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Jim Linton, VK3PC.
More proof that in the end, the free enterprise system works best, even if it takes going through the proverbial back door to make it happen. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Fan DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, and Australia's WIA News, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. That's located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. So for now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk in Los Angeles, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Southern Mississippi, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2010. All rights are reserved.
The time is 1:23 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30.
hockey stick life.
Okay, welcome back to the workforce. That's it. That's it. Vacation time is over. All right. Well, don't just jump in there. Like, you gotta ease into this work status. How was your vacation, by the way?
My vacation was wonderful. 10 days off, baby. And while you guys were sweating it out down here, I was up in Bar Harbor, Maine, and every night you needed a jacket, because the temperature was 46 degrees.
Okay, and I bet you was dry and all that fun stuff. Well, welcome back to another hot week. Not as hot as we've had it, but you get a little bit of a taste of that, you know. The back of your throat there. Anyway. Well, you know, wasn't, you know, we just grinned and batted, whatever. Okay. Anyway, what can I tell you? So you're up in Maine, huh?
Roger, roger. As they say, Bar Harbor. Yes, Bar Harbor, Maine. And, did all kinds of cool stuff. We did the whale watching, and went out looking for puffins, and we went kayaking, and we even went flying around in biplanes.
Well, that sounds like loads of fun. Loads and loads and loads. Yep, I like Maine, but went to that, what is it, Arcadia Park? Thought that was a pretty good park. So. And, spent some time up there. Now is the time to go, like you said, you know. Nice and cool. Need a jacket at night. That's my kind of weather. I love coolness like that. But I bet you in the wintertime it gets really brutal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we went to Acadia National Park. Yes, we did. We had lunch at Jordan Pond. On the whale watching trip, we had a big humpback. Big humpback. Come right out of the water, right at the bow of the ship as we were slowing down to look at something else. And nobody had their cameras ready to catch this thing. It was magnificent.
Yeah, people were looking the other way. I know, I had Greg on the radio. He kept me company a lot. We'll leave a pause for him, see if he can get in here. Yep. On a cruise to Alaska, we had dolphin watching, whale watching, I forget what it was now. I think it was whale. And, it was nice. You watch the glaciers. You watch the ice fall down into the water. Global warming taking effect. What? Over to you, John. W2HCB and 2EB.
And 2EB, W2HCB. Yeah. Whoa, what a moron. Holy crud. Guy in a Sherry Trailblazer, John. Holy crud, you would have had a heart attack if this guy was alongside of you, what he just did. I'm over here on the curve off the conduit. You know where she slips down? And you come around by the Van Wyck over there. And JFK Expressway. I'm in the right lane. There ain't no room between me and that underpass over there. This guy come blasting through there. Squeezed that thing and he scraped his mirror on the wall of the underpass. I don't know what the heck his problem was, but my God. What a lunatic. Yeah, I got back Friday afternoon.
Saturday, headed out to South Old. We had a special event station out at Custer Institute and Observatory. So we were out there early Saturday morning, got back yesterday morning about 11-ish. Started getting ready for the, back to work deal. Oh, stop, your belly aching.
I think, there's some QRM on the frequency. QRM, you want to pick it up?
You got it right, QRM and not QRN. Yeah. The MOL is no longer MOL. Hey, what was the retarded message you left me? Dude, I owe you a big, fat cigar. Why? What happened? Twick filtered me through over 3,300 people to the top of the list 1 week after I brought it in and they put it on the record. I told you! You say Ravenswood? Oh, no kidding, Ravenswood! You going to Ravenswood? You say Ravenswood? Oh boy, Big Alice!
I think you said Ravenwood.
Story tall, coal-burning furnace. Now Richard, what lovely contractor is over there doing work? I know a few of them, but not all of them. Get back to you in a second there, Evil Johnny. Corporate? Oh, the boys at corporate. I know the boys at corporate. Good bunch of guys. Real good bunch of guys. Had a bunch of machines up there on the exhaust deck. 235 degrees in the summertime. With a little TM12 19 footer that needed batteries. And by golly, those guys were fantastic. We bring a battery up, then sit in the AC for a half hour. Then bring a battery up, sit in the AC for a half hour. Little Johnny?
Why is it so hot?
Why is it so hot? Because all that massive antique equipment that makes electricity. Story tall, coal-fired furnace.
Furnace, okay. So, Rich, I don't know how you did it, but you jumped to the top of the list, and now you're not MOL anymore. That's great. Great to hear it. So we're going to have the pleasure of your company every morning?
Absolutely. Let me put some fuel in the toilet odor. It hasn't had fuel in a while. Be right back, and to PPN. Oh, Johnny.
Tell you, I don't know what's going on, man. I was driving up in Maine and Rhode Island and Massachusetts and Connecticut. Come back to this. These people drive like morons over here.
Yeah, my daughter and friends just got back from Mansfield, Massachusetts. I think that's the Mansfield Theater in Massachusetts. Not the one in Connecticut, the one in Massachusetts. And, because she calls up and she goes, "Dad, could you map this out for us?" And they were just comparing against the GPS. They weren't sure. Driving forever. It looks to be alright. They were having a good time. They got back last night. It's actually too late for me. I was in bed. My wife got up. Anyway.
ask her how it was, how the concert was. They have some nice free concerts in the summertime. Where's Greg? Rich, if you're back, otherwise it goes back to John and to EB.
2 Alpha Sierra Sierra.
Hey, Greg, I was out in your neck of the woods, man, over the weekend.
Yeah, I heard you say it before. I heard you talking about that before. Yeah, and I was over in, I did a Mohican Sun run Saturday. Drove there, did a little gambling stuff, and then came back. And that's what I did. So I guess it goes over to Rich if he's back from filling up.
That is so annoying. So annoying. Come on, fix the thing.
My computer might have limited range at the present time, but it has nothing like that. Yeah, well, that's because you just have a better club. Oh, Witchy, you had to see it out there in good old South Hole over the weekend. It was a sight to be seen.
You know what sucks?
This guy George I spoke to on, I guess it was Wednesday afternoon, told me long sleeves are required. Yes. Long sleeves are required at Ravenswood, and make sure you do not have a white hard hat.
Is white hard hat like target practice?
No, white hard hat, if something happens, they can all flock to the white hard hat, because white hard hat knows all.
Okay, so I'll make sure that I have like a, I don't know, something else colored hard hat on.
Very good. I'm just going to be, you know, quiet, unassuming, keep my mouth shut kind of guy.
You kidding me? Since when?
I almost spit my own coffee out on the dashboard. Evil Johnny, and good morning to Gregor and to PPN.
Hey, hello, how are you? Actually, John EB, I have a question for you with that tungsten palm thing that you had. I put in an SD card with a bunch of pictures that I downloaded from my computer. I plug it in there, and it doesn't recognize the card. It says, please insert card. So I try to look it up online. It's just a 4 gigabyte card. I try to look it up online. I saw a couple of people wrote that they had trouble like that, and they had to use a 1 gigabyte or smaller card. I don't know if you ever had an experience like that, or maybe I just don't know how to open the card. You know, it's not exactly like a computer, but kind of similar. I don't know if you have any advice on how to make it read that card.
4 gigs might be too big. You know, that was like yesterday's technology. So they might like say you might don't use an HD. What do they call it? SDHD, something like that. So just, I would go with 2 gigs or less. Try a smaller card. They're cheap enough. See if that works. Otherwise, I hope you have picture viewing software on there. I forget exactly what they use. No. It's been a long time since I had to eat. And over to you.
Wow, they paved Linden Boulevard? Holy smoke! I don't believe it! They paved it in his little line, so it's like the Indy 500 over here. Rich?
Gregor, guaranteed, doesn't recognize the 4-gig card because it doesn't know what it is. Older technology stuff probably capped out, possibly, at 2-gig, more than likely at 1-gig. So, you're going to need to find a 1-gig card, and like Johnny said, don't look for one of those SDHCs, the high-capacity cards. you'll probably be able to find those for like $1, $2. Because the old stuff didn't have the capabilities of addressing higher ranges of the memory, so when you put the card in, it just doesn't recognize the card at all because it doesn't know what to do with all of the memory locations that are available to it. It's kind of like the Mayan calendar, you know, the Mayan calendar just stops because they didn't know how to count any higher, I guess, so same idea, you know, kind of like the way, I won't even try to draw a parallel between memory addressing and club mentality. And it was supposed to go to Evil Johnny. I was just saying good morning to you, Greg. So it goes to Evil Johnny first. So hold your finger off the button this time. Ah, it's good to be back. Evil Johnny and 2PPN getting on to the Northern.
All right. I'm just going through Houdini land. And, I was going to... No, so that's probably it, since you both concur, and, I got a problem with my, with mine, and it says SD card's always in, and you turn it on, it says, oh, SD card's been inserted, do you want to see a few of the pictures? wait a second, there's no pictures on there, it uses, all sorts of memory cards, stuff like that, so, that's that. I guess you're having fun with that, huh, Greg? So, who do I pass this to, Greg? And then Greg gives it to John.
Then to me, then to Rich. But either way.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Ah. I don't know anymore. Nice bumpy road over here. This is great. But my new Michelin tires feel fantastic. Oh, man, it feels good to be driving on non-Chinese tires, man. I got no stupid wiggles and tires rolling over on themselves. And the thing is just unbelievable nice now. Oh, man. Anyways, let's see. Yeah, so I get the email where to start today, and it's a stupid one, and I gotta go for a second stupid one in Stinky Island, and I gotta find out what my Sirius radio just said now. Antenna not detected. Oh, boy, this is gonna be a good day. If I ain't got that, I'm gonna go nuts. Rich? You're not gonna go nuts. You're just gonna have to listen to terrestrial radio and or ham radio. Oh my god! Commit suicide! What can I say? So, hopefully... I hear there's, you know, ample parking. And... I'm actually freezing myself here in the car. Got the AC on and, oh God, I got goosebumps. But, I am, planning as soon as the weather breaks a little bit, be taking the, two-wheels in. Take the two-wheels into, to work. God, seems strange saying that. Just seems so nice not having to go to the island of misfit toys where all those really, really, really skanky people were. But anyway, that's besides that point. It'll be interesting. It'll be, you know... experiences and Elfin Johnny, gotta tell you all the wonderful scenes of Sonny Boy's boat, from cracked axle to having to now do a head gasket on the three-cylinder 70 horse. Evil Johnny, over to you. And to PPN.
Okay, wow. Hey, you gotta show the picture on the motorcycle. I got a flock. So 73 guys and 2AB, Greg, over to you.
KB2N, QM Vulcan. Alright, John, you have a great work day. Hey, Steve, recognize. Boy, it looks like everybody's back from their little vacations or whatever they do. Even Rich. See, Rich, I knew that you would end up, something would end up happening, that you would be back in the swing of things very quickly. I just knew, I even said it. I knew it. Which is great. That is a good thing. I'm getting nervous now. I gotta see what happened. As usual, I forgot what I was gonna say.
Cap tree and back for a nice, you know, little a little break, smell the surf, feel the salty air in my face, smell the seagull droppings, and Johnny, got Sunny Boy's engine all tuned up, did the new thermostat, did the new coil packs, rebuilt the carbs, everything was good. He went to take it out for a test run. We were going down to take a test run and crack the axle. So, had to jury rig something up. I think I called you. I got it home. New axle came in on Friday.
Repeater. Time out. Repeater. Time out.
You lost me somewhere. Gregor, over to you. N2PPN.
Damage to cylinder walls or anything like that. All that stuff will be okay. I guess I'm not really sure. It sounds like an outboard, so I'm not really sure. My motors will be going in, hopefully. Soon I get them back from the builder, hopefully maybe next week. I might take off a couple of days of work and get them puppies swung in there. Then I'll have to meet you guys on the water.
You're going to be towing a gasoline tanker behind you?
It looks like that's what I may have to do. That's what's going to slow it down.
That Pete SET was still transmitting.
Anyway.
Yeah, you'd have to pull a barge behind that boat, regular. And Rich, did you start taking apart the head yet? Because it's got those little teeny weeny little bolts that snap off when you breathe on them. I remember from my Everroad days. It was fun. Little teeny weeny little bolts. They don't even go, they go clink, I think. And Johnny, tell me how everything went out there. I had a situation, I know that, I think Greg knows, that my mom was in town. And flew out on Saturday afternoon. She's going to be back in a couple of weeks, probably for a couple of months up here. She's still working on the arrangements now. She'll be at the wonderful hotel, Sloan Kettering. Can't wait. Maybe I'll steal some towels for you guys. Johnny?
Towels. So I'm used to HCB. Yeah, Steve, I tell you, the place was kind of hopping around 10 o'clock at night. I don't know what the skies were like the western end of the island, but out in South Hole, the sky just opened up. It was an unbelievable night, man. They had the big observatory open, and the stars were unbelievable. Unbelievable. We saw a satellite fly by. Yes, we did. Oh, it was... Oh, here I am, Richard Avenue. Richard, over to you.
Hope they didn't have the observatory roof open during the rainstorm. That tends to get the floor all wet. And, it was just too hot to do anything except float around in the pool. And, Stevie, I'm not looking forward to pulling that head off. I know exactly what you're talking about. But I'll just have to do it nice and slow and steady and hope that I don't break too many of those bolts, because then I'll have to sit there and I'll have to drill them out, re-tap them or helicoil them or whatever the heck I'm going to have to do to them, and I'm not looking forward to that because I don't want to pull the power head. I want to try and do it with the power head still in the case, but, you know, We'll see what happens. And it is the number 3 cylinder, the one on the bottom that's got the water, and that's the one that's got the smallest amount of room between the cylinder seal and the water jacket for the exhaust plate. So that's where I'm suspecting it breached. But it was running real nice when we took it out. And I'm pretty sure I heard it when it went, because we took it out for a run. And just something didn't sound right. So I have a feeling I heard it when it happened. And she seemed to lose a little bit of power, but then when he was trying to start it, it just wouldn't start at all. So it's better that it didn't start than he took it out and ran it with it just filling up with water. So anyway, over here on the Graham Crest Park, to Big Alice. Gregor, over to you. Not DSET.
Oh, boy, this repeater thing is so noisy. You know when you, I remember a few months ago, you know, we heard a noise similar to this every once in a while. I thought it was actually a guy burping. And Rich would always say, give the machine Pepto-Bismol. But I thought it was a guy burping. But now it has like that squeal behind it. And I'm wondering if it is the same noise or if I was hearing something different back then. You know, it's different now. It's very strong. So, I don't know. And John, I'm wondering what your knowledge is on water methane injection for diesels. If you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, I guess you'll tell me on your go around. Steve, over to you.
Yeah, it's not a squeal. That's Richie's trailer axle bouncing down the street. Man, that must have been a hair-raising experience, to say the least. Anyway, I'm on the road to Utopia Parkway. I have to do some cable adjustments, Mr. Wee Little Man. So that's the only thing I have to deal with. Boat's been running good since I did the repair on the heat exchanger. It's running a little bit hotter, not a lot. Like, I'd say it was always running about 170, 175. Now it's up around 185. Right around there, so I gotta get used to looking at that and just stay on top of it. I did the impeller a couple of years ago. That might be due also, but I'm sure it's heat exchanger related. So, running good, running strong, and everything is cool. Even caught a couple of keeper flukes yesterday. So that was nice. Hot out there. And I have a series of, I'm taking off Mondays, every other Monday, because I don't like Mondays. And I just want to shoot the whole darn week. Little hollow tree munchkin person.
Those rainy days and Mondays always get you down. JB2, NJC.
Run a bell! The wild state of New Jersey. All right, guys, I'll pull up where I gotta be. So I'm gonna say 7-tweet. I'm out of here. Just still picking up and passing over to Witchy. This is W2HCV. 7-3, guys.
Out of you, be cool, be safe, man. That's the rules of the day.
Rich,
welcome back, my brother. It's good to hear you. How's the wheels doing? What's going on? Like you got a boat problem. But, you know, hey, you always have boat problems. How's the bike running? How you feeling? All that good stuff? Over to you.
Your uvula.
My uvula's fine. Thank you very much for asking. And, good morning to Wildwood Bill. What's going on? Wheel is resting comfortably in the not-so-air-conditioned garage. waiting for a cool evening to go out for a ride. Wife is up for that. We were going to go out the other day, but it was just too darn hot. Too darn hot. So hopefully we'll get maybe a little break in the weather, and I'll take her to work a couple of times. Yes, I am back to work. Working in a secure facility, thanks to the elf's recommendation that I twit my nose, and that's exactly what I did, and I filtered up through the unemployment list quickly and expeditiously. Now I just have to keep my mouth shut and not tell them how short a period of time I was actually out. Because I could have someone looking to assassinate me for passing through the list as quickly as I did. Gregor, over to you. I guess you didn't get your answer on water methane injection. No matter. Google it. Greg, over to you. N2ASS, N2PPN at Vincent LaGuardia Gambini Airport.
No, I did Google it. I heard a lot of good stuff, but I figured get a professional's opinion on that. And tonight I gotta go to Massbeth Railroad Place, if you know that road. It sounds like you guys are pretty familiar with the city. Or Queens or whatever that is. I gotta go move stuff for some, I don't know, they're moving something big. And I gotta go lift the traffic lights out of the way, and we gotta get it over to Mineola. Probably take me all night, that stupid thing. But I figured maybe you know a roundabout where that might be. And I guess I got to give it to, well, I was giving it to Steve. Bill popped in there. I'm kind of confused. I'm going to give it to Steve. Steve, give it to Bill.
Okay, mister. Massbeth. Ew. Talk about hot. Hot and clammy. Lots of clams. And hello to Belch. Yeah, now you guys could be neat together. Richie could drive down on the bike and hang out and get one of those road names that, you know. I don't know if you ever met Rich, but there's a gaggle of names that he's been called, so pick a good one, like, you know. Well, I don't have to tell you, you know what to do. So then road names go with what the guy looks like, how the guy acts, where he's from. How does it work, Bill? What does it all mean?
Okay. I'm glad to see you riding. I'm happy. I was stupid enough to be out Friday, by the way. I went up to OCC, and it was about 105 on the way home. My Harley was not happy. I'm not kind of heat. My transmission is hot and screaming. The last 30 miles was really tough. What does road names mean? Well, my name is exactly what it means. I am a witch doctor, and that's what I do. Okay. I do not practice the Judeo-Christian belief, so therefore I'm pagan. That's where the witch came from. And doctor because I'm in the nursing field. Guns is because that's all he carries is guns, and that's the way life is. He is a law enforcement officer, though, so he has a tendency to be overprotective of himself. Great Ghost is, the Great Wolf, rather, is short gray hair and fluffy and stuff like that. So, yes, we pretty much do names are what we are. Rich? Okay, I could just imagine the name that you might come up with for me. It's kind of share.